1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17, very convicting verses to our hearts. And it has to do with our loving God in contrast or in direct opposition to our love of the world. And when we talk about love of the world, we're not talking about all the individuals in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It means he loved all people of every color and culture. We like to say the different races, but there's only one race, and that's the human race. As Paul preached on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, we are all of one blood. All of us bleed the same red blood. Some of us have more melanin in our skin, and some of us have different traits from our forefathers that came before us, but we're all one race. The Bible says we're made out of the dust of the earth. In other words, we're little mud balls. And for one mud ball to think he's better than another mud ball because he's made out of lighter dirt or darker dirt, you're still dirt. You're still a mud ball. And to think you're better than another mud ball is to be downright stupid, silly, and foolish. And so 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 begins these very convicting passage right here that comes to loving God. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now here's the description of the world we're talking about. Not about all these individuals, not about every single thing in the creation around us. He's talking about this in particular, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Lord, we pray you bless your word to us once again. Thank you for your hymns. Thank you for your people. Thank you for our country, the freedoms we enjoy now. Oh Lord, we know that if our country follows the course of history, our freedoms are fleeting. The time of our glory will be over one day unless Jesus tarries his coming. And we just pray that you might reserve your judgment from our country a little while longer. Lord, with all the abortion, all the taking of innocent lives, all the sexual ugliness and the weirdness of our culture, the hatred towards that which is good and the love of that which is towards evil, we pray that you might spare us in your goodness and mercy, that you would hear us and spare this Sodom and Gomorrah that we live in. And we pray that you would send us revival, if it be in your precious will. We would love to see an enlightening again. We would love to see revival. And Lord, though these days are evil here, and some ways worse than any in history, there are other times in history where things were worse in other ways. We pray that you bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We are not to love the world that is in opposition to the Lord Jesus. We are not to love the world that puts the media above the Lord Jesus, that holds what news reporters or magazines or newspapers, how they claim to be the ones that tell us what the Bible means, or promote their importance over the scriptures, you know, the lordship of Christ. We are not to love the world that is in opposition to the Lord in the education system that tries to explain him away and explain his word away. It's amazing that almost no matter what your major is, Unless you're in the business area of going to college or university, you will hear your faith slandered every day, no matter what your major is. We're not to love the world in its ugly principles, its foolish philosophies, its methods, its aims and ambitions. They praise certain leaders in this world who poisoned others to get their leadership, who killed others to get their leadership, who misused and abused and lied and murdered and slandered to gain their power. And yet we see many in our world, our education system and our media, that promote that same kind of belief system that was held by those evil people. We are like Israel in Egypt in that when God sends the message, "Let my people go that they may serve me," this Egypt of this world wants to keep us in slavery. It might make its concessions and say, "Well, go out for about a day or two, but you come back to the world, come back to your slavery." And so you see the different ways it was done, don't take your whole family with you. Don't make your children obey Jesus. We'll make laws that if you make your children obey Jesus and go to church and they call our agency, we'll come and get you for child abuse. If you spank your children the way the Bible teaches you to do, we'll come and take your children for child abuse. If you teach your children that abortion is murder and homosexuality is wrong, we'll come and take your children for child abuse. You don't think they're doing that? Time to wake up. They are. And they have been. There have been parents sued in courts by their children for not letting their kids watch MTV. Can you believe that? That's happened. And so the Egypt of this world, it wants to keep us in bondage, to keep us from the worship of God with all that we are and with all that we have. And, today is a day that Philip was saying in California, the churches are being called on to be in what they would call civil disobedience, what we would call constitutional obedience to our Bill of Rights and the First Amendment. And that's the freedom of worship, the freedom to peaceably assemble. And so they say, well, there's going to be a lot of trouble. And, it's about time the persecution came to America. You can watch videos of people being picked up by the police because they were out singing hymns, even though they were safe distancing, even though they weren't harming anybody, for standing out in a parking lot and singing hymns, being arrested. It's a shame. It's a crying shame. But the world is like that, and we see the culture around us like that, and it's no surprise. The world will steal our time, it will steal our money, and it will take our talents. You know, God has blessed us with so much, and the great sin is that we frolic away our time and talents and blessings financially on the world. No, it's not wrong to enjoy certain things or to go certain places, but to lavish our lives on the world and not to care about the things of God and not to give to the things of God and to not give our time or our talents or our blessings to Jesus is a sin. Jesus said in John chapter 17, while he was speaking to the Father, remember that great prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, recorded for us in John chapter 17. Jesus prays to the Father and says about his believers, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And so that's where we get our saying. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we sing our songs, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. I love America. I bleed red, white, and blue. When I was in fourth grade, I had the privilege, I don't even know if they do it in classrooms anymore, but there was a little American flag in my fourth grade class, and Mrs. Phillip made me the president. I don't know why, but I had no idea. I just got up and did it, and I led the class every day. Put your right hand over your heart and repeat with me. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And every day I did that. Every day at the morning when you got to school, everybody was running around the playground. And then an alarm bell would go off and everyone would have to stand at attention and face the United States flag and stop whatever you're doing playing while they played the Star Spangled Banner over the intercom system. I don't think they do that anymore. I love America. I've always hated communism since I can remember. I argued with my teenage friends about communism. I hate communism. Yeah. That's why there's a particular political party I hate, because it's basically full-blooded communism. But this world's not my home. There's another kingdom I serve that's even greater. I was willing to lay down my life for this kingdom when I joined the military back in the late 70s. Iran had taken the hostages, and so I thought we were going to go to war. And my stepdad, he had served, and my real dad died when I was just a little boy, but he had served under Patton, joined him in Africa when they first started the campaign in Africa against Rommel and his tanks down there. And he marched with Patton all the way towards Berlin, crossed the Rhine River. And he cried for the first time I'd ever seen him cry. He said, "No, you're not going to join the Marines." He said, "No, you're not. I don't want you to see the things that I've seen." He thought we were going to go to war. I did too, but I signed up. I lied about my age so I could sign up. And I got through for a while. And then the point being is that when you love your country, you're called a patriot. But there's a country I love even more than America. Mm-hmm. You know, the Star Spangled Banner, that Old Glory, is the most beautiful flag in all the world. There's no flag that compares to our flag. I mean, some flags just have three bold colors, either green and white and orange, or red, white, and blue, like the Russian flag or the French flag. But we've got all those beautiful stars and all those stripes on there. You know, you may think if your country flag is the most beautiful, but it's not. The United States flag is. That's an unbiased opinion. It really is the prettiest flag out of all the flags in the world. But there's a banner that the Lord has lifted up for His people. In fact, one of His names is the Lord our banner, Jehovah Nissi, or Yahweh Nissi, the Lord our banner. And that's the blood-stained banner of the gospel of Christ, and I bow to an allegiance to that even more than I do the United States flag. Now, you can be a patriot and not love the world. You can love your country and not be in love with this world. You can stand and fight for your country and not be in love with this world. The main thing is that Christ is your King, and that heaven is your home. And while you live here, you consider yourself to be a citizen with its duties and all that is involved in being a patriot, and serve Jesus. Amen. First of all, we want to talk about, we're running out of time here quickly, what it is to love not the world. What is it to love not the world? What are we talking about here? What is the scripture saying? What is it to love not the world? It does not mean, listen, it does not mean to give up our earthly callings. Does not mean to give up all our earthly callings. Daniel loved God with all his heart, but he served in the government of Babylon as one of their chief advisors, planners, that all that was called upon him for many, many, many years. That was a heathen society. That was an idol-worshipping culture. That was a culture that had wiped out his homeland. How can you imagine serving in the government of a nation that had destroyed America? But that's what Daniel did. That's what God called him to do. And he did it, but he put Jesus first. And so we don't give up our earthly callings. He was very busy in the success of Babylon, yet he did not let the cares of Babylon choke out his division, his devotion and his worship of the Lord. For three times in a day, he made the time to go to his room in private and speak with the Lord and let the Lord speak to him. Amen. It does not mean, also, it does not mean to completely avoid the company of lost sinners. A lot of people think, well, we got to stay away from them lost sinners, all those heathen. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with those who do. Well, I hang around them all the time. In fact, sometimes they make better company than these Reformed Baptists and Hard Shell Presbyterians. Come on now. The others will judge you for things that aren't even scriptural. But sometimes the heathen, they have more sense. It does not mean to completely avoid the company of lost sinners. Paul went among the lost as though he was one of them. Remember what he said? He said, to the weak I became as weak, to the strong I became as strong, to those who were religious I acted like I was religious, to those who were without faith I acted like... He said, I became all things to all men that I might by any means bring the gospel to some, to see some of them saved. He said, if they said they were a Jew, I said I was a Jew too. They said they were a Gentile? No, I made... He didn't lie, but what he did, what he didn't do was say, oh, I'm not one of you Gentiles. He just refused to be owned like, what were you saying this morning? I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a Jesus-loving, sin-fighting, devil-hating, barn rattling, shingle pulling, window shaking Christian. Amen. Amen. Somebody said on their bumper sticker, God is not Republican. You're right. But he sure ain't a Democrat either. Amen. Amen. That's right. So we don't avoid the company of lost sinners. Paul went among the lost to win them. And he didn't make politics or religion or culture or any of these other things an issue. The issue was, I endeavored not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen. Amen. He didn't talk about sports with everybody, even though he could. But he'd use sports as an illustration. He said, can you see that guy running that race? He's doing everything he can to win. You do that too for Jesus. You lay aside every weight, and you lay aside these things that would hinder you from running the race for Christ. Don't be like Lot. Here he was redeemed, he was saved, but he's living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he could be there, but what was he doing? What did he call the guys that were the heathen with him? Brethren. You ever notice that in Genesis? Here they are trying to rape the angels, and he ends up raping his daughter, and he's calling them brethren. Come on now. It does not mean to completely avoid the company of lost sinners. Another thing, it does not mean that we cannot take interest in anything but religion. It does not mean that we cannot take interest in anything but religion. You can be a Christian and care about rescuing animals. You can be a Christian and care compassionately about rescuing pit bulls or doing these other things, helping out the community cleanup projects or helping to feed the homeless or any of these other things. You can have a great compassion on those things and have a great interest and it not be against Christ and it not be loving this world. You may study the sciences. You can study the arts. You can study drama. You can study literature. You can run for political office. You can be involved in your community as long as the things of God are not slighted by those things. You can serve God in so many ways as long as you're not taking money for hurting people. Right? So, any call of God. You know, I knew a guy that was a Bible teacher, and he wanted to know how to build ships. Was he going to build a ship? No. But he just wanted to see how something so big could float in the water. He wanted to understand. And so he started studying shipbuilding and the sciences behind that, the architecture and everything. How can you make something so big and so heavy and it not sink? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with about being involved in modern art and painting and stuff. Just don't act like the rest of the crowd that's involved with that stuff. Don't be snooty-tooty and the other words they put along with it. But you can practice all kinds of things as long as they don't take the place of the Bible, the place of prayer, the place of going to church and having your family devotion. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God can bless you in whatever endeavor it is. You know, we don't pay for cable. We watch YouTube and things that are free like that. One of the things I love is watching how these dogs or these puppies are found that have been forsaken, that have been starving, that have been hurt, and how they come along with compassion and lift them up and invest themselves into them. And the great transformation that's made, bringing them from all to the point of death, to the point of vibrancy alive, from great fear to great joy. You know? And here they are, just, you say, you might not take umbrage at this, just dumb animals, you know. But in a way they are. But the point being, they are sentient. And God communicates with them. And there's instincts that God has put in there. And we as human beings are drawn to them. You know, I my boss at work, he lost his dog couple weeks ago. They've known that they've had that dog for almost 17 years. It's natural to cry over an animal like that. They've been a part of your family. They've given you love. They've shown you nothing but joy when you got home from work or came home from the store. They loved you. They wanted to be with you. When the world was walking out on you and talking bad about you, they jumped in your lap like you were the greatest thing since a gravy train. Right? Loved you. So it does not mean you cannot take interest in anything but religion. It does not mean to be peculiar in your clothing and your manners. Some people think if you dress like the world, well, some ways the world dresses. If you let your pants hang down to the ground, you're just silly and obnoxious and you don't even realize where that came from. It's really, really bad. But it's not wrong. I mean, some people think, well, look at how much more spiritual we are. We wear our robes and our women wear the habibs and, you know, we look like 7th century Arabians or whatever. We're holy. Look at us. Or look at us. We wear our bright orange robes and we know how to hum and hymn and we have mantras and stuff. Look how spiritual we are. That's a bunch of hooey. Look, it doesn't mean to become monastic or to be peculiar. It used to be a day in America, I don't know if it still is. I don't get out that much because I'm at work a lot. But you could tell a Pentecostal woman just by looking at her. You could tell a fundamentalist Baptist just by looking at him. Because their dress was so peculiar. A Pentecostal woman, no makeup, no jewelry. Except for that wedding band. That was only jewelry. Somebody asked me, well, Brother Ross, isn't it wrong for a woman to wear makeup? No, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Amen? You've heard that before, right? A lot of men should be wearing makeup. I'm probably one of them. But the thing is that... it's not by dressing like we're Amish or dressing like we're Pentecostals. That has nothing to do with loving the world. Amen. Nothing whatsoever. It does not mean that we cannot observe Christmas, Easter, our birthdays, even Halloween. Oh man, I've run into people that... Halloween is all satanic, blah, blah, blah. You may have your points if that's what you're majoring on. All I'm trying to do is steal Nathan's candy. That's about it. I'm teasing. He doesn't go out for it anymore. That's up between you and the Lord. You say, well, it's demonic. Do you really think demons run around on broomsticks or wearing white sheets and put pumpkins on their head and everything like that? Yes. You think so, yes? A lot of people give me trouble over this. Let me tell you something.
They're so cute.
Yeah. You do what the Lord tells you to do on things like that. And don't judge others because they don't think it's wrong to give M&Ms to the kids that show up at their house. Amen? In controvert, what was it that saying about the Christians? In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, what was it? A word that had to do with being patient and tolerant of one another. In all things, love. Well, we're going to have to close here because we're out of time, but let me just add a couple points quickly, and that is this. It does not mean that we shun unsaved relatives or friends, but instead we seek to win them by our kindness, our cheerfulness, our love, and helpfulness. It's amazing how many people call themselves Christians, and then because they have unsaved relatives or unsaved friends, they are taught to shun them. And that's very sad. You know, my unsaved friends, when I got saved and I started talking about Jesus, I didn't have to worry about leaving them. They ran as fast as they could away from me. And I had to work to try to keep any relationships. That's true. Now, does not mean we shun them. does not mean we leave him. What it means is if we're going to give a ringing testimony about Jesus in our lives, we might have to work to keep him near to us. I know people that, relatives that say, well, if you come here for Thanksgiving, just don't say any prayers. Just don't talk about Jesus. Well, how are you going to do that and be true to yourself? They're rejecting you because of the great love of your life, who is Jesus. They're rejecting the best part of you, who you are, what you care about. And so let us not be like the world. Let us not treat them. You never listen to us about Jesus. You're not invited. No way. Don't be like them.
Amen.
It is this. It is an excessive love and attachment to the ways of the world. And it can be the fashions of the world. It can be, you know, no matter what changes I've seen in the world. I never bought a pair of Elton John shoes in the 70s. I never bought an ascot to put around my neck, no matter how famous Scooby-Doo got. You know, my ties didn't get fat because of somebody making them popular, and they didn't get skinny because of somebody making them popular. I didn't base my cologne on what Brad Pitt was wearing. I don't give care to the excessive fashions of this world. But how many magazines you go in the store and you see caring about the way the hairstyles are, caring about the fashions of this world. That's right. Caring about the weirdness of this world. Lot's wife is held out as an example to us. Oh, she was going out from Sodom and Gomorrah, but her heart was in the world. Her heart was with the wicked. Her heart was there, and when she turned back, it meant she loved the world more than she loved God. These are some questions as we close. Are you more concerned about missing a day at work or missing a day in church if you had the choice? Are you more concerned with your kids being late for school or being late for church if you have the choice? Are you more concerned with a scratch on your car than a sin in your heart? Come on now. The car is going to pass away. Are you more concerned with a scratch on your car than you are with sin in your heart? Are you more concerned with the things of the world than you are with the things of God? What is loving the world? Boil it down to this: it is looking to the world to make you happy. Can everybody hear me good? Mm-hmm. You hear me well? Okay. It is looking to the world to make you happy. I used to have a great library. I've boiled it all down when I moved down to California, but I had a great library. I loved books, and I loved reading. I loved learning. And so there's nothing wrong with my books, as long as I'm not looking to them to make me happy. If I'm looking to them to inform me on better how to worship the Lord, how to understand people, how to help people, how to do these things, then I'm fine. But if I'm looking to my books to make me happy, then I'm an idiot. Right? I mean, some ladies, I grew up in the day when soap operas were big. I don't know if they still are. But I knew some ladies that made the kids go out and play while the General Hospital or As the Stomach Turns came on TV. Are you listening? I mean, this was more important to them, and if they didn't get to see it, there was going to be somebody had to pay. Somebody was going to pay. You can't look to those things to make you happy. What are your pursuits? You care more about clothes than you do about Christ? Do you care more about friends than you do your Father in heaven? Do you care more about cars, jewelry, or toys? Those things are all right in their place. But if you let that car keep you out of church on Sunday, because you're going to go to a car show and try to win one of them plastic trophies, something's wrong with you. Huh? Come on now. Only the Lord can make you happy. Haven't you learned that yet? Only the Lord can make you happy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll bless us and help us to. Lord, though we may use the world, though we may be in the world, we're not of the world. May we take things that let us be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And let us use the things of this world, the technology that's around us, the speed of travel around us, to make us better effective servants for you. Whether it be in our earthly callings, whether it be trying to be a blessing in something else, the things that we have to learn, Lord, are so vast. And whatever it is you call us to do, whatever it is you give us a passion to do, may we do all for your glory. As your word says, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, to do all for your glory. Lord, we pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.